turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And we are going to read all the way to verse 14. Matthew chapter 1 and through verse 14. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. I'm sorry, did I say Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 14 is where we'll be reading. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. All right. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, let me just point out at that verse, it says, "at the same time." So this took place at the same time something else was happening. So I'll leave that to you to figure out what that was. So it gives you something to think about. So something was happening at the same time. So he said, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Now, Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. I thank you for all that you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to see and understand the Word of God today, to apply it rightly, and to see the need for the people around us and ourselves to humble ourselves and come to you as little children. And Lord, we just pray that you would help me this time and help me preach the Word of God and be a blessing. But Lord, you know the need of every heart. If there's one here that's lost, we pray for their salvation. If there's one here that's struggling, we pray for them to have strength and direction. Lord, if there's one here who is dealing with shame of sin or being out of fellowship with you, we just pray that they would humble themselves and come back. And Lord, you've given us the great promise that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So help us to believe that promise with all our heart. And Lord, we just thank you again today. We ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, if you read this passage of Scripture, first thing I would say is if you have any doubts that little children need the gospel taught to them, and they need to hear about why Jesus died on Calvary's cross and why he shed his blood and why he paid the penalty, they need to hear that. That ought to open your eyes right there, that passage we just read. is greater when somebody gets saved as a young child than when they get older. I wish I would have been saved as a young child. I truly do. I wish I had not wasted the 23 years of my life that I did. And I wish I'd have known the Lord that time. Life would have been so much better for me. And especially if I had godly parents and everything like that, it would have been a wonderful thing. But you know, there's an old, the old evangelist, Dwight Moody, he went out and he was preaching one time, and somebody asked him, they said to him, he said, "Mr. Moody," he said, "how many people got saved at the meeting tonight?" And he said, 2.5. And they kind of laughed. He said, "Oh, you mean 2 adults and a child?" And he said, "No." He said, "I mean 2 children and 1 adult. And they said, "We don't understand." He said, "Those children have their whole life to give to God." And he said, "The adults have wasted half or better of their opportunity to serve the Lord." And that's a true statement. And if you look in this world and you see what's happening to our young people, if you don't think that they need something, you're not paying attention. If you don't see that they are being sacrificed on the altars of lust, and you know, they talk about all these little children that are unaccompanied minors. You realize that our federal government is sanctioning the trafficking of children? Because a lot of these kids are coming and their parents are nowhere around. They're being trafficked. And it's a shame. And our government is complicit in that. And that's a shame that it is, because of failed policies. And but children in America, they're just being thrown to the wolves. No direction, no instruction in righteousness. They need salvation. And so if you get the chance to witness to a little child, you do your best to get the gospel to little children as much as you can. But anyway, let's get back to the passage of Scripture. He said, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." You know, this is an amazing passage of Scripture. And it's really so simple. But it's hard for us to grasp it many times, is because we like to look at ourselves as adults. We're men. We're women. We're fully grown. We're independent. That's funny. We have a culture that tries to press everyone into the same ideology and same attitude. I was talking to the people in jail, and I was talking to the men in there about being men. And I asked them the question. I said, Who's really the man? The person who grabs whatever society says and conforms to it? Or the man who's willing to stand alone with God? Who's the man? You know, it's like the world's looking at us. You know how little children are? They dare you to do something, then say, "You're chicken." That's the way the world is. Then you're afraid. People are afraid of what the world has to say. And it stops them from having a right relationship with God. It stops them from getting saved in the first place. But that level of, you know, we talked about fear in the Sunday school today and living without fear, and we talked about that, but that level of adulthood, if you will, that level of courage to stand against the world, to do right no matter what anybody else does or says, no matter what family says, it starts not as the adult but as the child. That level of courage comes from somebody who's humbled themselves before God. In Psalm 27, we read it there. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? And yet people never reach that level of courage because their relationship with God is not right, and their relationship with God is not right because they will not humble themselves. I'll get back to the little child. But people live in fear in this world and everything like that. And I was kind of, I heard a story one time, kind of a joke or everything that somebody did. And he said this highway patrolman saw this elderly lady driving down the highway, and she was going over the speed limit. So he got behind her and everything. He put on his lights, and she dutifully pulled over and sat there waiting on him to come up to the car. So he ran her license, and he found out she had a concealed carry permit in the state where she lived. And so he walked up there and he said, "Ma'am," he said, "I need your license." And she handed him his license, said, "Yes, officer, yes, sir," and everything like that. And she was up in her 90s, and I think she says the joke went, she was 93. And she said, "Ma'am, I see on my records here you have a concealed carry permit." He said, "Do you have a weapon with you?" And she said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I have a 357 in the console. I have a 44 in the glove box, and I have a 38 in my purse." And he said, "Ma'am, what are you afraid of?" And she said, "Nothing." We like to brag and talk about how brave we are and how tough we are and how independent we are and all these type of things, and yet we end up slaves to the world's opinions. We don't do right because we're afraid of what somebody else is going to say or do. People won't come and get saved because they're afraid of what their family is going to be saying. But it breaks my heart to see people say they know they need to get saved. They know they need to put their faith and trust in Christ. They know that one day they're going to stand before God, but they keep putting it off because they're just scared of what their family's going to say. But I'd like to let you take a look at this little child here. It said that Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In verse 4, he said, "Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Now, there's something there for us to understand. But notice what he said before that. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus told the religious leaders of his day, and they were debating on whether he was the Christ, the Messiah, or not. And he told them, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come unto me that ye might have life." If you read in John chapter 9, there's a man that was born blind and Jesus heals him. And his parents are told that Jesus healed him. And so all of a sudden they're questioning the man because he's giving glory to Jesus and praising Jesus for healing him. And they're questioning him. The religious leaders are questioning him. And boy, he's saying they didn't like his answers. So they called his parents. And they asked him, he said, "Is this your son that was, do you say, was born blind? How does he see?" And they knew the answer. But they were afraid because they'd already put out the word that anybody that confessed Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior, would be cast out of the synagogue. So instead of saying, "This is our son, and this man, Jesus, healed him. He was born blind and he healed him." They said, "Well, he's of age. Ask him. We don't know." Even though they knew, they lied because of fear. And he said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." When he talks about conversion, he's talking about humility. You know, it's an amazing thing. Jesus is sitting there he's just reaching out to the child. "Would you mind if I used one of your children as an example? Maybe, come here. Come here, please. Is that okay? Come here. I want to say something. All right. Do you know what you just did? You just showed a wonderful example of faith. You know how that was?
Yes, sir.
How was that?
Good.
It was good. That's right. It was really good. You know why? You go back to your seat. Now, what she did was, she just came up here. She trusted somebody that was greater than her parents. They said it was okay. She trusted me, and she just came, didn't she? She just came when she was called. She simply came when she was called. She trusted. That's a little child right there, just trusting. She didn't know what. She didn't know why. She didn't know anything. All she knows is she had a call. And if you're not saved today, God is calling you right now. He's offering you eternal life. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." He says, "Come," and we say, "Well, I don't know. What is everybody going to think?" You may be in here and you profess salvation. I've had a lot of people that profess salvation, and when they give an altar call, they're sitting there in their seat knowing they're not saved, but they've already professed salvation because they were playing church. They weren't serious in their profession, and instead of humbling themselves and coming there, "Well, what's everybody in the church going to think?" Little children don't do that. They get a command from somebody greater than themselves and they just obey it. you're here today as a child of God. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. My faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. I know that He died for my sins. I know that He rose from the dead. And my faith and my trust is in Him. I know the only way I'm going to go to heaven is through Him. And I've put my faith and trust in Him. I've called upon Him. I know He's my Savior. But then He calls you to do something else. You know, there came a time when I had to deal with God's call on my life to preach and to be a pastor. And I had to make up my mind to just humble myself and trust Him and go forward. And while God doesn't call everybody to preach, He does call everybody to service. He does call everybody to walk with Him. He does call everybody to serve with Him. And in one way or another, our lives, the life of a pastor is kind of a singular thing, because the goal is to be an example. I'm to be an ensample unto the believers, a living example of what it means to trust God and that God's Word works and everything. I'm supposed to be an example, an encouragement, as well as a teacher and all those things that a pastor's supposed to be. But the simple fact is, it's not just the pastor's job to walk with God. It's all our job. But it only happens when we humble ourselves enough to trust Him. And that's the point that we need to understand. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And he's not talking about receiving children. He's talking about those who have had exercised that childlike faith, trusting Him, humbling themselves, depending upon Him. And those that have become obedient through faith in Christ, as they go out and they preach the gospel. It's when we have the surety of telling people if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. And then he says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom he cometh. We live in a fallen world. We live in a time where people are going to fight against righteousness and godliness, and there's going to be offenses, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be trials, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be opposition. But we don't have to live in fear. And you and I can rest assured that for all of those things that people may do, there's going to be a reckoning. God's going to handle it. We don't have to take matters into our own hands. We don't have to do that. We don't have to seek vengeance or anything like that. God's going to take care of that. There's a judgment coming. So pay attention. And this same thing that he's saying to the one who won't humble himself. He said, wherefore? He said, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Alright? Now, he's not telling us to literally cut off our hands and feet or pluck out our eyes. But what he's saying, if there's anything that's stopping you from humbling yourself before God, you need to get rid of it. It'd be better to if it was your eye, actually your physical eye, or your hands or your feet. It'd be better to be maimed and have everlasting life than to have perfect health and a full body and be separated from God for all eternity in hell. He's talking to the people that won't humble themselves as a little child. What is it that stops you from trusting Christ? And what is it that stops you from serving Him? What is it? What's so important that it's worth your very soul? What is so important that it's worth that is more important and worth more than your reward in heaven? Friends, family, money, job, prestige, pleasure. Is it all worth eternity? Is it worth losing everything, especially when Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Is it worth it? Is your pride worth it? He said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." You know what that tells me? He's got a little child before him. You know, this is where we get the idea of, where people get the idea of guardian angels for children. And I'll be honest with you, there may be something to that, because I know there's a heap of times when I was a child that I probably should have died. We always talk about how children, they bounce better than we do, don't they? It might not be bouncing, it may be angels. You ever thought about that? Don't despise those little children. But it also talks about the saved, those that are have childlike faith in Christ, those that have trusted Him. He said, don't despise them. It'll cost you. If somebody shared the gospel with you, don't get mad at them, don't despise them. You ought to be thankful for it. He said, they have protection. God's people have protection. He said, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came. He came to save that which was lost. Another place it says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Interesting, when He just says, He came to save that which was lost, He's got a little bitty child there, doesn't He? But then later, when He's dealing with Zacchaeus, a full-grown tax collector, He says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. The older we get, the harder God has to seek and the harder He has to do. Because we get proud and we won't humble ourselves before Him. He said, boy, you know, we always talk, boy, I wish I could be like David. I wish I could be like Daniel. I wish I could be like Peter. I wish I could be like Paul. I wish I could be like John. I wish I could be like this preacher or that preacher or whatever. All you need to do to become the greatest of the kingdom of heaven is become like a little child. Humble yourself like a little child. Quit acting like you're some big man, some big woman. I'm an adult. I'm independent. You're not independent if you follow the world, are you? I'd rather be dependent. I had the first pastor after I got saved. You know, we're an independent Baptist church, which means we're non-denominational. We don't have any denomination. We're not part of any group, right? And everything like that. Well, he thought about it and he said, you know, they had a list, and when we were in Charleston where I was stationed, when I was in the Navy, we had a list of churches there. And you had Southern Baptist churches and Missionary Baptist churches and all that, Primitive Baptist churches. And then you had Independent Baptist churches. And then in the phone book, you had one entry. and it said Dependent Baptist Church. And people said, why are you, I thought you were an Independent Baptist Church. What is a Dependent Baptist Church? He said, we are an Independent Baptist Church. We're not, in the sense that we're not part of any denomination or anything like that. He said, but we're a Dependent Baptist Church because we depend upon our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a Dependent Baptist Church. I like that. We ought to be a Dependent Baptist Church when it comes to God. We need to be independent from the world by all means. We're supposed to be separated from the world. God tells them, wherefore my people, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, right? We're supposed to be separated. But we're not supposed to be separated from everything. We're supposed to be separated from the world unto God, dependent upon the Lord. He said, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. There comes a time as a Christian that we need to leave our comfort zone. You know, there's a lot in the Bible about Christian fellowship, isn't there? There's a lot in the Bible about how we're supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another all the more as we see the day approaching. There's things in the Bible that talks about how we're supposed to love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. But there comes a time when you were to leave the 99, go out into the wilderness to find the lost. We all have a part of that. If you're a child of God, you have a part of that. That is something you need to do. That's why we support missions and missionaries. That's why we go into the jails. That's why we send out gospel mailers and hand out gospel tracts and all these type of things. Because it's not the will of our Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. By the way, I understand the impact to children, but all of us are children when it comes to God. All of us are young. No matter how many years you've lived on this earth, our God is the Ancient of Days, the Everlasting Father. You're all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. God's greatest desire, his children. And the little bitty child of 4 or 5 or whatever that believes on Jesus, and the senior of 100 years old are alike children when it comes to God. Jesus left his Father in heaven. He left the holy angels that worshiped him day and night. He left the place where there is no sin, where there is no sickness, where there is no sorrow, where there is no pain. And he came here amidst our weakness, our labor, our pain, our sorrow, our suffering, our weariness. He took part, though he never sinned. And he came to save that which was lost. He came to save me and you. And all he asks us to do is humble ourselves like a little child and come to him. There was a day, thank God, that I humbled myself and believed God's word and called upon the Lord, and he saved my soul. But as I've grown as a Christian, there's been many times where I needed to humble myself yet again. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're lost. You don't know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Maybe you're here and you're not sure. And the answer is humble yourself and come to Jesus as he calls you. Put your faith and trust in him. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but not right with God." Well, there's the first step, admitting you're not right with God. Now humble yourself and come to him. Make things right. You know, I talked in the jail about forgiveness. Talked to the prisoners. And if you're sitting here and you're eat up with unforgiveness towards somebody you won't forgive, you know what? The solution is to humble yourself and say that God's command is more important than my feelings. Maybe you're here to say, saying, "Boy, I just don't think I'm a very good Christian. I just don't think I'm a very good person in that regard. There's so many people that are more worthy to me than me." I can just tell you now, the only way they got that way was humbling themselves and coming to Jesus as a little child, which is what you can do today. When I face the world, I want to stand. But when I turn back my face toward the Lord, I want to be a little child. I just want to trust him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to sing a hymn before we leave. And then I'll leave you to your own thoughts and your own relationship with God. But Father, we do thank you for each one that's here. Lord, you know each one. You know the needs. You know the burdens. You know the fears. You know all things. You know the things that we feel like we're caught up in and we can't get out of. Father, I just pray you'd help us to just trust you, to humble ourselves and come to you the way we are. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your kindness. And we thank you, Lord, that even now, even though we failed, there's a way back if we'll just humble ourselves as a little child and come unto you. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful. Thank you for loving us. Now, Lord, I pray you'd work in every heart. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.